This episode of WWT is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. If you're booking your next vacation, don't lug your kid.
Lug your luggage.
That's right. Don't even lug a stroller. Don't lug it. We got to lug your kid.
Don't lug your kid. Lug your stroller. No, it's the opposite.
Don't lug your
stroller. Lug your kids.
Because when you get there, you can check in your hotel. Guess what's waiting for you? A Kingdom Stroller. Guess what's waiting at your vacation home? A Kingdom Stroller.
City Mini.
City Mini Deluxe. Maybe you got twins like me. Maybe you're like my friend Bart Scott from Ears of Steel on the BLT Lunch Break and coming on the pod cruise with us. Maybe you got like a six-year-old who realized she still needs a stroller. Not normal everyday life, but when you're walking through Disney, you know how to wear out a kid quickly? Make him walk for 18 miles like I did Terry. Nearly killed him. It's true, right?
True.
It's true, yeah.
Wish you got me a City Mini.
Right.
It's also true.
They need to get some of that.
They do. It's called like a rover. What do you call it? Like an ECV. They rent those. They rent a lot of stuff. They also rent bedding and everything you need. Go to kingdomstrollers.com. And as Will likes to say.
And bedding too.
Kingdomstrollers.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today. Coming to you from somewhere off property. At the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, May the 10th to be with you. Episode 1563 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And today we are taking another topic by the hands.
What are we going to do with those hands?
I don't know.
Tell me a little bit about
whatever
this.
You want. We're going to talk about annual passes.
Keith, we're taking your hands and we're using your topic.
Keith had a topic idea, which was, is it still worth it to have an annual pass and what our favorite benefits are?
He specifically wanted us to defend our position, either AP or non-AP.
Well, okay, for me, I can fully, let's just dive in because we got some listener questions coming up later with Lynn. We'll make sure we have some time, extended time to get to
that. Full disclosure, all three of us are currently annual pass. Yes. You have
I have the Big Daddy.
The Platinum Pass. I have the Gold DVC Pass. And
I think
Will,
you have the Gold.
I don't know what I have, and it hasn't been activated.
Right, Will's never got activated.
Oh, yours isn't currently activated?
No, because we haven't went since.
So the next time Will goes, he's going to start a year of enjoyment.
I know. So yours...
Never. I'm never going back.
Yours, you don't get in the peak times, right? Because there's three
levels.
I
don't get in the 2 weeks of spring break. I don't get the Easter week and the week after.
Christmas.
I don't get spring break anymore. It's weird.
And I don't get 2 weeks of Christmas. So
yeah.
And I happily
not go.
I'm happily not having that as an option.
See, as my kids start going into school, I know I'm going to have to be able to travel there in those times to go take them. So I have the Platinum Pass. And look, to me, I go enough times where I surpass the break-even point. So it's a no-brainer for me. If it's 14 days, if it's whatever it is, I think Lynn's going to talk. We'll ask Lynn currently what the plans are or what the break-even points are. But I know when we did the budget, for me, it was a no-brainer to book, to buy the annual pass. And I've been an annual pass holder for years. It's gone up by more than double since I started about 10 years ago. I think my first annual pass was in 2007. And again, that's been 10 years and things have gotten more expensive. But I still defend it for that and for some of the benefits you get. Free parking, I know alone we'll talk about that, I'm sure, and Lynn will bring that up as a benefit as well. But free parking, if you don't take advantage of other options. But that's been a huge one, actually, when it comes to how many times you travel there, especially for me who doesn't stay on property. Any other benefits that really make it worth it for you?
I feel like specifically if you're going to go to Disney more than once. So if you're in like the Southeast – and that's an opportunity because you can just
drive there, hop on an hour flight. Yeah.
Then if you're planning, we can get down, we get a quick Southwest there and back, it's almost guaranteed going to be a better option to do the annual pass.
Yeah,
you're going more than once in a year.
Here's a couple of key things that I think. I think what Will just said, 1,010% agree.
Hey, 1,010
through the extra 10%, and here's why: because
and 900.
Yeah, and if you take the cost of two multi-day hoppers,
right,
it automatically is going to end up more than that. And the perks you get, parking. I mean, come on, you get free parking with your annual pass.
And it sounds goofy when you're like, check out these perks. Free parking, but it adds up fast.
I mean, what is this, Monopoly?
Especially if you are someone that's doing a vacation home and you are staying off property and you're there for, you know, 7 days, you've spent $150 in parking.
Right.
Because of that same reason, I recommend that if you have a larger party, that, you know, say you're bringing, you know, grandma, grandpa, and six kids or whatever, and, you know, you've got, let's say, more than five or six people, that one of you gets an annual pass. Because that means one of you will get the memory maker photos.
Right.
That you will still have that
to
free parking.
The number one benefit is those photos.
Yeah. And then, you know, and I've obviously the guys have given me a hard time on the show for being someone who enjoys characters. But until recently, I've never really gotten the full effect of characters of having
the professional photos
of them taking it and me not having to worry about it. Like, hey, here, take one on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Which it's been real nice, and it literally just shows up on my phone. It's
usually minutes later.
Like, sometimes by the time you've walked out the door of the experience.
And hey,
a lot of times,
you know,
Logan has seen them before you have.
You know what? Sometimes you get other people's pictures. So you feel kind of like a creeper,
but back
fun.
To that, what Terry was saying about having the extra, if you're a large party and one person gets the annual pass,
yeah.
You also get meal discounts, especially if your whole family's paying together.
Yeah, 10% off.
Those
merchandise,
type of
merchandise discounts everywhere.
Right. All those things that the whole family will technically get to enjoy, because especially if you're the head of the household that gets it, for then you're clearly paying for meals and merch,
right,
and things like that. That it's a better option that way too, because the whole family's getting all those perks, not just that one person.
Yeah, and if you travel with other people throughout the year, they can obviously always use your perks. So like one of our friends who went and bought an annual pass with us. We all went together. She then took her extended family to Disney, used her annual pass, and got all the photos. To buy a photo is what, like $20-$30?
Mm-hmm.
It's something crazy to buy a full digital download. So if you're going to be someone who's going to buy a photo pass photo, any of them, it almost starts to become worth it if you are taking more than one trip a year. So that's a huge perk for us. It made me go, yeah, I'm in. No problem. Like you said, the dining and the merch, it's never been like a ton, but it's enough that it's noticeable. It's enough to say something, to do some 10% here and there. It adds up.
Well, it's
currently 20%.
When you add all those things together with the parking, with the photo pass, that's where I think it does have value.
Right.
Other than
you get a discount on
I get to
tickets.
Go into the park. Like that's. I think that's what I was trying to express.
Absolutely. And you get discounts, because I think on party tickets you get discounts, and on special events sometimes you get discounts. And if you are using the extended stuff, I know there's not much left in Disney Quest, but a lot of times you got a day at Disney Quest or 20% off, 30% off there, or you got golf, a round of golf. You can always look at what the other perks are for all the different tiers. Like I'm at the tier that's before we get to water parks. Like I don't have water parks.
You don't have the water park and more.
No, I have just the four theme parks. And I even was a California one at one point, did both coasts. But I've just right now, I just do the four parks. And look at where the cost is. I'd say also look over at Universal, see what that cost is as well. Because they have some perks that are, if you're going to be staying at Universal and maybe going to Disney, that you need to look to as well, whether that is free valet parking, whether that is a night at Halloween Horror Nights. I mean, that alone will, if you're using their top line, you get a free night at Horror Nights. That could take hundreds of dollars off of your day, your trips. So just keep a look at both the annual passes, I'd say.
And we haven't even scratched the surface on the fact that one of the biggest discounts that you get with an annual pass, and I forget about it because I'm a DVC member, is you get, you know,
giant hotel discounts.
Sometimes between typically low end one is 35%, and sometimes they're upwards of 50%.
Yeah, and there's usually always some kind of deal.
Quick question on that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm planning my trip.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at these things. Can I go ahead and buy an annual pass and then book my hotel to get those discounts?
So currently, let's just use you an example. You have an annual pass that's not activated. You can use the discount of the hotel now, and then you just have to activate it
while
you're there.
So I have that in my possession because I actually got it when I was down there, though. What if I'm not – what if I don't have the card? Like I don't have – I just – Just go through Disney, make sure I do it that way.
You can do it any way you want. You can buy it online. You can buy it through a discounted ticket broker. You can go to the Disney store and buy it. And then just connect it to your My Disney Experience. As soon as you've connected that to your My Disney Experience, you will typically be able to log into the Disney website and see those discounts.
Gotcha.
And you also get discounts on the Shop Disney Parks app.
Which, I didn't think about that.
You know, which is another, you know, which if you want to begin to, you know, get some of those discounts, get some kids the... you know, a lot of people like to do a big reveal when they do a trip. You know, you want to give some Mickeys and some Disney shirts when you're not doing Christmas that year, but you're giving everybody a gift and you want to put that under the tree. So that's another, you know, that's another option as well.
What I found is that if you're a Disney fan, and say you're a couple, maybe you don't have kids, it's not worrying about buying five of these passes, you're talking about buying two. If you're a Disney fan, you do find yourself going a lot more when you know your tickets are already being paid for.
That's true. Yeah.
So you know that big, huge chunk of money that would have to go into your planning your vacation is taken care of. So you will fly down for a night, two nights, three nights, a trip here and there. Something can come up this weekend.
Do the crazy thing you did where it was the 24-hour trip when it was a possibility.
Yeah, before flights were much more expensive. But even then, you can do that, and it's more reasonable. It's the option of right now, if I wanted to go, my costs are getting there.
Yeah.
And obviously staying there as well. But my that part's already taken care of. So I could check off the list probably $1,000 in tickets or $500 in tickets or $200 in tickets because I have a pass for me, my wife, and my son.
And it gets you to the planning phase that's more fun. Like, where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? Instead of, well, here's this big lump sum cost that it's not really fun planning part. And I know that I have to pay for it if it's already gone. Like, if you've already done that.
Yeah, you're still not allowed to do monthly payments yet, right? If you're not a resident?
No, not if you're not a Florida resident.
Right. So that's one. If you are a Florida resident, I know a lot of people listen to Florida aren't Orlando residents, but you're a Florida resident, and you can pay monthly. So with that, it obviously feels like a subscription service almost. Mm-hmm. It feels a lot cheaper just because it's not. But, you know, I take care of mine in one lump sum and deal with it that way.
And the renewal is something else to consider. When you do renew your pass, it's about $100 savings.
You're almost renewing typically on the same
rate.
Right. Often. Yeah,
and if you know when Disney traditionally ups the prices, you can kind of watch that and kind of be aware that if your pass renews in April, and that's when they typically. Yeah.
That being said, if you took my Universal advice, you can do monthly Universal. So, like, you have to put a down payment of a certain amount of money down, and then it rolls into like $20 a month. Mm-hmm. However, with them, they auto renew you, and you get renewed. You know, because you have $20 a month, and the next month it rolls over, your pass continues on. So I have gotten an extra year of my pass under contract on accident that I did not need. Now, I was probably going to re-up it at some point during the year, but I probably would have waited till closer to Horror Nights or something like that. So instead, I accidentally had a Universal pass because they auto-renewed me, and I wasn't thinking about it. They certainly aren't going to tell you.
Conversely, if you're a couple, an individual, even a family, and you're only going down for a one-time 4 days, probably not going to be in your best interest to get it.
Right.
Especially if it's not going to be feasible for you to go down again.
Yeah, and if you have no interest in park hopping, there's probably a good argument to say that you don't need it.
Yeah.
If you're going once or maybe even twice, if you're talking about doing a one park a day and you're cool with setting your schedule and doing that, that's fine. I love the freedom of being able to do whatever I want when I'm there. And though I still have to make plans, they can be easily changed. And a lot of that freedom comes from being an annual pass holder and having access to all four parks 365 days a year. Or 366 days if it's leap year.
Well, you don't have that because sometimes you don't get the spring break and Christmas. So
I get everything.
We don't.
I know. Yeah. All right. Any other final words to say about the lovely annual pass?
Yeah.
Best way to book it? How's the best way to buy it, do you find?
I think the easiest thing to do is probably just to go online to the Disney website.
Yeah, if you have enough time.
I've got a guy.
Yeah.
I got a guy. You want Disney passes? I got you covered.
The nice thing when you do it that way, it's automatically connected to your My Disney experience.
Yeah.
You do get even if you're not staying on property, they're going to send you that free Magic Band once you activate your annual pass, which is nice.
I've been a lazy person who's never. You have to request it.
No, I don't want it.
Ever. Just leave it up there for free. You just don't get one. Well, to me, the laziness in me has always kept me from getting them in the mail often. So I've screwed that up, and I have to say that can become a pretty big pain if you buy it online, then try to have to go pick something up at guest services if you're trying to go early in the morning or during, because that line can get crazy. We had that happen.
And that was actually why my ticket wasn't.
Yeah, we said, forget it. We'll figure this out, which we didn't. And we just decided we're going to charge ourselves an extra day.
Disney
won $100 in that. But that is what it is. So be careful with that. If you have enough place to plan early enough to get your annual pass, it's never too early because it's not activated until the day you arrive and the first time you scan it.
So. And that is another annual pass recommendation that I do recommend. is if you're arriving and you know you're going to the park the next day, but you're not going in that day, it's worth it to go ahead and go. I recommend Disney Springs to activate your pass. You can go to the guest services. It's right there kind of in the middle of everything that's in Town Central, I think is what it's called there now.
I've had mixed things there.
You're also out of the way at that point.
Well, it depends on where you're staying.
Yeah.
But Disney Springs is something people tend to do.
You're going anyway.
That night, if you're not going to the parks that day, it's a good... I've never had an issue other than a rude cast member there, but I mean...
I've had that. I've had just extensive lines, so just be aware of it. I've had really good experience at night at the Magic Kingdom guest services. As people are already in the parks, it's really quiet. I have a good experience also almost always at the Hollywood Studios one that's outside the park. Kind of as you walk from parking, it'll be on your left. That one's always been pretty good.
Do not try to do it if you're going to the parks
in the morning
at rope drop.
Agreed.
It will literally ruin your day, if not your entire vacation. Yeah, it's just a bad way to start.
You need to figure that out. All right. Let's wrap it up. Let's head on over to our friend Lynn Testa. We'll be right back with listener questions with Lynn.
Hey, while we're taking a break, before we head over to listener questions, we want to thank our sponsors, Nick and his team over at DVCResaleMarket.com. It's the place to go if you're thinking of becoming a DVC member and don't want to pay those direct prices from Disney and want to save yourself thousands of dollars on the purchase price and then tens of thousands of dollars over the life of owning and getting the access to those DVC rooms, the studios, the tree houses, being able to stay at the brand new Wilderness Lodge and get that savings. Our friends over at the DVC Resale Market are the place to go to save money and become a DVC member, and that way you can keep experiencing the magic year after year. Be sure and tell them that the boys over here at WDW Today sent you, and you can start saving with Nick and the team at DVCResaleMarket.com.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, joining us this week again, Mr. Lynn Testa. Lynn, welcome back.
Hello.
All right, so we just got done kind of debating and talking about our thoughts on annual passes and whether it's worth it, where that break-even point is, but also whether the benefits are worth it anymore. What are your thoughts now as someone who still travels to Walt Disney World a lot?
One of the things that I'm really impressed with lately is how many restaurants are extending discounts to annual pass holders. Many of the servers that I've been to, you know, over the last 3 months or so, are automatically asking whether you have an AP discount, and that's really nice.
Yeah.
In many cases, it's as good as the discounts you get from Tables in Wonderland. So it's, I'd feel comfortable actually having an AP without having Tables in Wonderland in many situations. So, yeah, I think it's still useful for that. There are occasional merchandise discounts.
Yep.
As well. You know, it's not bad. So, yeah, I think it's.
We didn't really discuss the Tables in Wonderland thing because, Terry, do you have Tables in Wonderland?
Not currently.
I never have done.
I did. I've had it off and on a couple of times.
I've always forget to do it because it's not like super convenient to do it. And I always forget to do it. I've never done it. So at this point, so should I even now?
I wouldn't. I would because if you've got an AP, the break even for Tables in Wonderland used to be like what, $750, and now since they're matching many of the Tables in Wonderland discounts, I don't even know what it is. I mean, it's got to be $1,000-$1,500 a year and spending for a lot of families. That's
not gonna be worth it ever for me, I don't think.
No, I think it's the value is still there. The thing that I the way that I'm putting the annual pass into perspective is this. If you go for 15, 20 days, over the course of a year, which, granted is a lot, but if you do that, you're paying around $40 or $50 a day for all of the perks that you get. So discounts, everything like that. That's about what I consider a day's worth of museum entertainment worth.
Well, I was going to ask you that because, and we could discuss this more, and we talked about it earlier, is to me, when they did the big raise, some of it was, it felt like to get almost to market value in a weird way, because I always felt like I was getting a crazy good deal when it was like $400 and I could go for all year. Like it almost felt like
back when Roosevelt was president, what?
I mean, but even like, let's say 10 years ago when they were $500, $600 bucks, They weren't killing you with it. There wasn't $1,000+ to go, but I always felt like that's a great deal because this is, you know, this is 7 days or if that. But looking at it from now, it would be even higher. You're right. I feel like it has more gotten to the point where it is almost the industry standard of entertainment per day.
Yeah, I think the way I was looking at it is, you know, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, which I think is the best museum in the United States.
Yeah.
$25 a day suggested donation to get in. They don't have a boat ride.
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah.
They're
not staffing thousands of people.
And the other thing, I think, I've walked around in the last 3 weeks. I've visited every single Walt Disney resort, you know, to update the book and everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's impressed me is how much money they're pouring into the resorts. Now, you could argue that they're pouring money into the resorts, especially the DVC resorts, because they get a tremendous return on it. But the fact remains that with all the construction that's going on, you can see where they're using the money from admission and annual passes to better the resort. And I'm fine with that. I can see my way to it. I still think an AP is a good value. I can't envision a scenario in which I would get rid of mine.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
I mean, if you include parking in this equation,
right?
You've immediately, you know, you took your $40 down to what, 15?
Yeah,
it's $25 a day to park now. Correct? Is it not?
Yeah, it's I think it's 20 still, but
Well, but by the time.
Yeah, by the time
this airs in a couple
25.
Of days,
yeah,
it'll be $25.
All right. Exactly. Should we get to some questions? Who wants to lead off the questions?
I'll lead off.
Go ahead, Will.
This is from one of our This is from one of our Patreon group members, Andy. And Andy's question is, what impact do you expect the addition of Pandora to have on the 4th FastPass options in Animal Kingdom this summer once it opens? For example, what might be a realistic expectation to get for a day of FastPass at 1 p.m.?
Day of FastPass. That's a little...
Sorry, I read that wrong.
Yes, I read it.
Expectation to get for a day of FastPass at 1 p.m. I'd assume we still expect Everest and Safari to be gone due to large crowds and still only a few FastPass options.
That's a great question. I think, obviously, the interesting thing is there's not the run on Pandora fast passes that you would expect. I think the last time I checked, which was last week, there was still plenty of availability 30 days out for all the rides. And I think we talked about this before. I think a little bit of that is lack of marketing, and it'll pick up once it actually opens. I think a good day of fast pass options, Dinosaur is going to be fantastic. Finding Nemo, you know, will be good. I even think there'll be some Everest available because it's not as kid-friendly as Kilimanjaro Safaris. So if I had to pick among those two, the attractions that would be it would have more availability for day up, I would say it would be Everest.
Yeah, and it can churn through some more people. So it's a fast-moving roller coaster event. All right, so hopefully that explained that for you. Sorry,
great
my
question.
Nose is squeaking for some reason. You hear that?
No, I do not hear your squeaky nose.
My wife woke me up in the middle of the night saying there was an alarm going off, and it was my nose.
That doesn't surprise me.
I was like, what? She goes, there's an alarm. I was like, what? And she's like, and then she's like, oh, it was you. I was like, what does that even mean? I don't know. All right, Terry, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, Mike, from our Patreon group, says, for the first time in ages, I'm going for a one-day trip and staying off property. I purchased my park tickets and linked them to My Disney Experience to make FastPass reservations. Mm-hmm. Can I use an old Magic Band that is linked to this account? I have at least two Magic Bands linked to this account. Will either one work?
Yes, either one will work.
There you go.
Laurel actually coordinates her Magic Bands with her outfit, so she's got, I think, 8 or 9 colors.
Mm. It's very nice. Yeah. I have a couple. I have a Haunted Mansion one.
What's
I have a purple one.
Logan has a couple Magic Bands, but only one outfit.
Right. Everything I wear is blue, but I have a purple Magic Band. It's weird. All right. Let's move on. This is from Jeannie Thomas. She said, I noticed that the release.
Jeannie or Jenny?
This is from Jay Thomas. She said, I noticed that the release for Star Wars Episode 9 was May 24th instead of the usual December release. Could this be an indicator that the goal is to open Star Wars Land for summer of 2019?
I'll tell you the date on which Star Wars Land is opening. It's before July 1st, 2019. Because that's the date on which Bob Iger's contract ends.
Ah.
So.
I would bet my firstborn on that date.
Yeah. So, okay. So July, you think by July of 2019, summer 2019, we have Star Wars Land done, which is not too far away. Really,
they're totally missing an opportunity by releasing it on May 24th and not just May 4th.
Everyone says that. So historically,
it's a missed opportunity.
To answer your question, historically, until the new trilogy, Star Wars films have come out in May. And usually that week of May, usually Memorial Day weekend or something like that.
So the original trilogy,
everything came out in May.
I don't count those abominations that are prequels. Okay, so only three have come out in May, Logan.
Oh, come on now. All six of them have come out in May until we got to The Force Awakens, which was originally slated for May, bumped to December. Then you had Rogue One, originally slated for, I think it was also for May, bumped to December. Episode 9, then bumped to December. So the question is, does this get bumped? I don't think it does, because I forget what movie it is, but Disney has a big movie coming out on Christmas of 2019. And I forget what it is, but it's something. It's a big one.
Is it Toy Story? It's been bumped to then.
It's a big one that they're not going to want to compete with.
When did Spaceballs get released?
That I don't know offhand.
All right.
Jennifer Jones. Or no, you guys take it. Sorry.
Jennifer Jones asks, which water park is best for families with toddlers?
I would say Blizzard Beach. Yeah.
Water parks in general kind of scare me with toddlers. The concept.
A lot of swim diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blizzard Beach has a little bit more for small children.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I have not taken my kids to either, but I would agree with that sentiment. All right, guys. I just went to
Typhoon Lagoon and did Miss Adventure Falls. It's really nice.
Yeah, I've seen some videos of that. It looks pretty cool. I'm sad of saving my water park time for, you know, the other side of the universe.
Turn the waterfall on.
I know. The volcano looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, so I'm going to plan on hitting that up. That's my goal. My son's goal is to learn how to swim this summer so he can go to Volcano Bay. That's his motivation. So, all right. WW Today. Well, I just read that. That's our show name. It's from our Facebook page. Is that what it's from? All right. Jackson said, Jackson Prather. That's a good name.
Prather.
It's like Panther with an R and then without an N. Great inexpensive meals at high-end Disney restaurants.
Wait, say it again. Great?
Great inexpensive meals at high-end Disney restaurants. That's kind of an oxymoron.
Man, like the salad bar at Victorian Albert's?
I was about to say, like at some appetizers?
You laugh. I really think appetizers and desserts are the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. Jiko, you said?
Yeah, Jiko, yeah.
I think appetizers and desserts are the best at the signature restaurants anyways. I think
you get a variety.
You get a variety.
It's often better. Like Amanda and I, we went to California Grill a few weeks ago, and our appetizer and dessert were top notch. Our meal itself was decent.
Yeah, I think... I will say this. I went to Bull and Bear a couple of weeks ago, and this is not a cheap meal. They had a $45 fried chicken plate. Now, okay. I know.
What are you complaining about, Lynn?
I know what you're thinking. What does $45 worth of fried chicken look like? I thought it came with a KFC franchise. Like, congratulations, Lynn, you own the Orlando market.
Right, exactly.
But it turns out it took 3 days for them to make this fried chicken. Day one and two were brining, first in salt water, then in buttermilk. Day three was the breading process. Oh yeah, yeah. And
Logan thought you ordered and then had to come back.
That was like 3 days. Could you taste the difference?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Okay.
Delicious. Okay. Yeah, it was.
That being said, you ever been to
Bojangles?
No. I was going to say Monell's, because Monell's in Nashville is great fried chicken.
$3.50 for a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. Seasoned fries, my friend.
Is this sometimes better? It was. I told Laurel I would pour the gravy that it came with on my breakfast cereal and eat it. It was that good. It was almost like a really good Thanksgiving turkey, and it was chicken.
So how long did it take to make the gravy?
I don't. I think there were tears of small children in it. I'm not entirely. It was that
salty.
So yeah, it was good.
So back to Jackson's actual question, I think you know the flatbreads on a lot of the appetizer menus at your upscale restaurants. They're a great way to go. They're a great way to maybe still save some money. They're probably in the mid 15 range. I think, you know, obviously the sushi at California Grill, I wouldn't call it, it's definitely not inexpensive, but it's cheaper than an entree. You could get a couple of sushi rolls. you know, and I think
some have lunch menus. So you can, sometimes you can scoot that around if you find one that you really like.
A lot of them A lot of them are converting the lunch menus to the dinner menus, and they're the same prices.
Never mind.
Or all day, the new
disregard
new
what I said.
All day, yeah. Dinner starts at 11:30 in the morning. You know, I think the best advice is this: appetizers and desserts, and go with the your choices. Sorry, your choices should be things that you aren't normally used to. Like, I mean, don't go and order a Caesar salad somewhere. That's you know what a Caesar salad tastes like.
Right.
But if somebody's doing, like, I think Disney does really well, things like lamb chops, they do. They tend to do seafood and mussels.
A lot of mussels.
Particular, fairly well, yeah. The flatbreads, I think, for me, are hit or miss. I wouldn't just get a straight cheese flatbread. It would have to be something more interesting, like...
Perrin,
I was thinking,
Gorgonzola.
Like, Gico has some great flatbreads, and so does California Grill.
So as long as it's not, you know, as long as it's not a margarita pizza, then yeah, I would. You're looking for something there that's gonna stretch the kitchen, or conversely, it's one of those you can look for something where you know somebody put some thought into it. So, you know, rosemary and roast beef. You know, somebody had to think a little bit about that. You know, rhubarb, anything. You know, people put some thought into that. That's what you're looking
for. I would just say eat a Clif Bar. And liquid diet it.
Move. All right.
Just go for the cocktails.
You want to take this question?
No one wants to respond to me?
No, that's not worthy.
Well, fine. I chime in. I give my ideas.
Slap you down. All right.
Chris Fisher.
I'm from BYOCB. Chris Fisher. I would assume it's the same Fisher. So, hey, Fisher, if you're listening. Sure you are. Sorry, I'm just giving him a shout out.
With Pandora coming, can we expect crowds to lighten up at some of the parks? Meaning, will I actually be able to get a fast pass for Frozen Ever After now?
No.
Probably not. No. That book's like 58 days out most of the year. What you will be able to see is slightly lower crowds at the other parks, especially in the evening. So if you want to see the Star Wars fireworks at the studios, you'll probably have fewer people around for that. If you want to see the new Happily Ever After, although that'll be crowded for a while, but you know, if you wanted to see the second one of those, there might be fewer crowds because people are over at Pandora.
All right. Hopefully that helps you, because it's but I don't think that's going to quiet down anytime soon. So I'm sorry, Chris. I know you're trying to take your daughters, not wait in line. Suck it up. You live there. And I know you're probably an AP member. So you probably aren't getting to book 180, oh, my voice cracked, 180 days out or whatever it is. So unfortunately, that's your lot in life. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to our sponsors this week, Kingdom Strollers. Visit them at kingdomstrollers.com to make sure you get all the stroller needs. And honestly, a lot of your baby needs and your kid needs, you can find a lot. You should check them out. Just click on there, check out their rates. Really good, great people to work with. A very professional, easy to deal with, kingdomstrollers.com. And also, Terry...
DVCresalemarket.com, your place to go to buy a DVC membership at a ton of savings.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show. Prison wall,